Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're drawing near to the end of the church calendar. In just a few weeks, the season of Advent will begin, which is the opening season of the Christian year. And even though they're not marked this way, the lessons for the last several weeks of the Trinity season form something of a countdown to Advent in a way similar to the Jessima Sundays do for the season of Lent. In particular, Advent leads us to consider the coming of Jesus Christ, both at his birth and on the last great day. The lessons for the concluding Sundays of Trinity point particularly to the return of Jesus Christ. Last week, we saw how we are on a pilgrimage toward our true home, the kingdom of heaven. This week, we're reminded of the troubles which accompany our pilgrimage toward our true home. Our gospel lesson is a recollection of a pair of miracles that are closely intertwined and related. In fact, these same miracles are paired together in the first three of the gospels, with St. Matthew giving us the shortest version. So with this in mind, let us consider the miracles and their significance. While Jesus was teaching, a ruler of the synagogue came and pled with him to come and lay his hands on his daughter who had just died, believing that he could bring her back to life. Jesus arose immediately and went with him, and his disciples followed. On his journey, though, we're introduced to a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. Because of her situation, she did not feel worthy to approach Jesus directly, but she believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. With the throng of people following Jesus, she got close and touched his garment, and immediately he stopped. One of the other evangelists says that he felt the healing virtue flow from his body. He stopped and asked, "Who touched him?" The disciples looked around and thought to themselves, "Lord, anyone could have touched you out of this throng." But the woman knew what he was talking about, and she confessed that she, in fact, had been the one to touch him. Jesus responded by saying, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the gospel writer adds, "And the woman was made whole from that very hour." After this brief interruption, Jesus resumed his journey to the synagogue ruler's house. As he entered, the professional mourners were already in full swing. Jesus sent them away, telling them that the girl was not dead, but asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But with the crowd cleared out, Jesus then took three of his disciples and the girl's parents with him up to her room. And St. Mark tells us that he took her by the hand and said, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And she got up. And word spread abroad about this miracle. Well, there are many connections between these two miracles. I would point to just three. First of all, we're faced with two desperate situations. In the first, we have a man who has lost his 12-year-old daughter. In the second, we have a woman who has been struggling with a hemorrhage for 12 years. Both of these would have been awful situations. The loss of a child would go without saying. But this poor woman had been dealing with this bleeding for the same number of years that child had been alive. Notice both of them, 12 years. The other writers, in fact, tell us that she had spent all of her money on doctors to no avail. Second, we see two great acts of faith. The grieving father came to Jesus when his daughter had died, believing that he could raise her from death. The woman believed that if she could merely touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be made whole. Third, we see two remarkable miracles. Jesus raises the girl from death with a simple touch and a few words. And he healed a 12-year-old ailment with a touch, and that not even intentional on his part. Jesus proves in these miracles to be the Lord over sickness and death. Which leads us to consider the significance of these miracles on this 24th Sunday after Trinity. As we begin to think about the Advent themes of Christ's twin comings, we think about these in light of his healing miracles. The Old Testament anticipated a Messiah who would come to heal his people. Just one instance comes from that memorable prophecy in Isaiah, which we will soon hear in Handel's Messiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The miracles that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry were in partial fulfillment of prophecies like this, and they were intended to function as signs that he was, in fact, the long-awaited Messiah. In fact, when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was, in fact, the promised one or if they should wait for another. And Jesus replied, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." In a roundabout way, Jesus is saying, "Yes, I am fulfilling the signs that Isaiah said I would." But notice that I said just a moment ago that these miracles were in partial fulfillment of these prophecies. Jesus healed many people during his earthly ministry, but this was only a foreshadowing of what is to come on that last great day. When our Lord comes again in glory, he will raise all the dead to life. He himself promised this when he said, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Now we may wonder how this might be. And some, as the professional mourners, may laugh at such a notion. But our Lord promised this, and we are called to believe it. In other words, what Jesus did for that 12-year-old girl that day, he will one day do for all who have died. But there's also a connection between the healing of the woman with the issue of blood and his return. For those who remain alive when he comes again, they will all be healed immediately. After all, he promises to make all things new. He has promised that the lame would walk, the blind will see, the deaf shall hear. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Every ailment that we now suffer with will one day be a bygone memory. These promises are the ground and basis for our hope in this life. If this man could believe that Jesus could raise his dead daughter, and if this woman could believe that Jesus could heal her 12-year-old disease by touching his garment, can we not also believe that Jesus will do what he has promised for us? Let us meditate on these miracles and trust the one who was Lord over sickness and death then, will also be Lord over sickness and death when he comes again. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."